say we did pasuk zayin nechas. Let's review the pasuk very quickly, and then we'll go into we'll pick up where we left off. Okay, pasuk zayin nechas. Ha'hoifchem l'lana mishpat. Okay, Hashem, ha'hoifchem l'lana mishpat. That you transform. Hashem is complaining against Klal Yisrael. You transform l'lana mishpat. Mishpat, judgment in your eyes is bitter. It's a bitter experience to demand, to desire that there should be mishpat. Utzdakol la'aretz hanichu. You have abandoned the attribute, the meat of tzedakah, to the floor, to nothing. No one's interested. Pasuk ches oisechim ochasil. Now we had a few interpretations of what this means. Does this mean that what we have done, or does this mean what Hashem has done? Either or, oisechim ochasil. We have transformed chima into chasil. These are two constellations. One constellation brings heat, and one brings warmth. We have broken the boundaries of this world. What used to be warm is now hot. What is hot is warm. There are no boundaries. Or by doing averos, Hashem has brought upon us a churban. Our averos have set into motion Hashem's a churban in this world. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings churban is by altering nature. For hoifech laboiker tzalmodes. Hashem, we'll listen to the second interpretation. Hashem can transform when he so wishes boker into tzel moves. Well, boker la boker tzal all the way out. Ha'hoifech la boker tzal moves. If a chman litzlan, a person finds himself in a situation of tzel moves, Hashem has the ability to transform that into a situation of boker. V'yoyim l'layla hechshich, and Hashem can take a person in the matzav of yom. And can make that yom into laila. Kore l'me hayam, Hashem calls l'me hayam, v'yishbechem apne oretz, Hashem shemo, Hashem, if you so wish, can call them the yam, and can cause the water to pour out on the earth. Either this means Hashem has the power of rain, the mafteach, Hashem has in his possession three keys, the keys to childbirth, the key to techiyas hamesim, and the key to rain. It's within Hashem's hands to call the yam, meaning to bring about a process of evaporation where the eid yala min haaretz, where the water mist enters into the clouds, and then Hashem can dispatch those clouds to wherever he so wishes to bring upon the earth rain, Hashem Shemoi. Or it can mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he so wishes, can flood the earth. Hashem is in charge. Okay, now, I'll just tell you, Agav, I was talking yesterday to someone, I thought it was very interesting. I mean, you have to have a emunah to really accept this. But we're talking about a person, Rahman al-Islam, who had a very big tzara. And he died, the fellow died. And the family, they were very disturbed because they really did everything that could humanly possible to do the tshuva, to daven, to give tzedakah. Sometimes a person feels that, you know, I have done mine. Hashem, you have given us a blueprint, a game plan, that in case Rahman al-Islam is a problem, so you have a blueprint. So most people, you know, I have no one to blame but myself. I didn't follow the game plan. Teshuva, you can never do enough teshuva. You can never give enough tzedakah. But sometimes you have situations where people feel, you know, like nidna Torah l'malachi Hashem. If there's a game plan and you do the best that you can do, you can have a right to a degree to complain. You know, it's not fair. I've done mine.
But Hashem can't say no?
Not that Hashem can always say no, but if Chazal have told us that Chazal, they're not telling us this because it doesn't work. Okay, that's not a derech of Yadus. Do tshuva, do tshuva. And the end of the day is, it's anyway not going to work. Anyway, you're going to die. Anyway, so do teshuva. That's not realistic. If Chazal tell us that if you do teshuva, it works. So how come we see that it does not work? So what do we say? Well, we have to be honest with ourselves. We didn't do teshuva. That's what we're honest. But, you know, leidnitna Torah lemalachei hasharis. Hashem only wants that much from you. Sometimes you have individuals who give it all they got. They do teshuva, they give tzedakah, and it doesn't work. So my high, what's, and you can't, it's not always, you'll say it's a miracle. A person needs a miracle. There are things that can be solved without miracles. It just has to work out. There are a lot of moving parts in life. It's possible, al derech hateva, you do your hishtadlus, and you daven, and yet it doesn't work out. How do we understand that? So it's interesting. Again, the answer, there is no answer, really, that's the truth. But this is just something that someone, interesting to think about what he said. So they went to Rav Don Segel. Rav Don Segel is a very holy person. He used to be, many, many years ago, the mashkiach in the Mirror Yeshiva, over here on Avenue M, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, he came back. He's known to be, I met him once. There's nothing to talk about. You don't have to apologize. He's a very holy person. He really is. He's the real deal. He's a very big Oyved Hashem. He knows how to daven. He has certain sensitivities. Very, very big Bal Musa. So he told this fellow, he said to him, there are two things. There's something called the Gezera, and there's something called years, Shonim. Which means that sometimes a person is born in this generation. How long is it? Again, everything I'm telling you is very mystical, and you have to have a muna to really accept this. It goes without saying. And the person says, this person is born in this generation. How long should he expect to live? Okay, so what's the life expectancy? I don't know, what is life expectancy in the United States? Whatever it is. Let's make believe it's 80 years old. Make believe numbers, whatever it is. 80 years old. So person has the right to expect to live 80 years old. And let's say he's younger than that and something goes wrong. So that means that in Shemayim, there's a complaint. There's something, there's some tevia, there's something wrong. The person is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, whatever it is. There's a complaint, and therefore in Shemayim they have decided to terminate his lease on life prematurely. Gzeira, because I'm doing something wrong. Then if you do teshuva, you daven, and it's not necessarily a miracle, it can work out, al derech hateva, there is no question, emunas chachamim, the koyach of tefillah, teshuva, tzedakah, it works. But then he said there are times, and we don't know how this works, and again I repeat for the third time, all of this requires an enormous amount of emunah to accept, to swallow. There are times in this world when a person was put into this world to live a certain amount of time. He was only meant to be in this world for X number of years. Even though this generation, living in a generation where the average lifespan will be 80 years, we don't know how this works. He's meant to be in this world for X number of years, for whatever reason Hashem has. In those situations, he said, that I've done segel, I'm not, I can never say something like this, it's not going to help. You can do teshuva, tefillah, utzdaka. Unfortunately, Hashem has certain plans. Hashem has his cheshbonos. It doesn't work. So I mean, I asked him, don't we have a principle that Hashem is yosef l'chosh, Hashem could add more? Okay, that's very exceptional. It's a very frightening concept, okay? Because this family, this person was very disturbed. It's just not fair. I really feel I've given it my all. I've really done teshuva, tzedakah, everything. And you can't expect me to be a malach, every little, to be medaktik echud hasayra and Torah mitzvos. The Torah doesn't demand you to be a malach. It demands you to do the best that you can. And if Chazal have told you that if you do teshuva, it works. And the Chazal's not lying, they're not playing with us. So he said this concept is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a gezera, and a gezera, you're right. But then there are things that are beyond our understanding. Does that really help anyone? I don't think so. I don't think it really helps anyone. But it does, it opens up a new way of thinking, such a, coming from a very holy person, which I have very great respect for. So just, over here it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoifech, just triggered this story right now, because we read the pasuk, hoifech laboiker tzalmoves. A person who is in a matzav of tzal moves. If Hashem wants, he can transform that tzal moves, the shadow of death, into boker, into great light. We don't always see that. We don't always see that in our generation with people who are in a very difficult matzav. They come out. The exception, the people that do come out, are a very rare exception. There's a certain derech ha'olam. The person is in a matzav of tzel, the shadow of death, it doesn't always work out. and it requires enormous emunah. It's not a simple matter. We live in a generation of mamish v'tzadik be'emunaso yichya to get through the day when everything is said and done, after all the smoke clears from all hocus and pocus, everything is over, you have to come on to emunah peshuta. Okay, we did over here the mitzudos, we did Rashi and we did the Radak. What we did not yet do is the Malbum, and we did not yet do is the Mincha Gedoyla and the Choyma, and the Mincha Gedoyla. Okay, let's see, and maybe a little bit of the Kutei Shas. Let's see these two things. Let's start with Pasuk there. The Malbum, Rashi, Radak. Let's now see the Pasuk Zayin and page 316. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaroi. Happy anniversary. We'll talk about it later on. Okay. Baruch Hashem, today is the anniversary of the morning Koilel. We're not counting. It's like you don't count children. You don't count years. But Baruch Hashem, we've been here for a number of years, and we have give Shevach v'hoida to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He has given us this opportunity to learn Torah. There's nothing more chashuv in this world than learning Torah, and it's really been a very big bracha. A very big bracha to have to learn together with you, to the shul that provided this makom, and all of the partners and all the different types of people that are involved in this. It's been a very big bracha, and we have an obligation to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu shevach v'hoida for this great kindness of his and this opportunity to learn Torah together.
It should have been the Zos Kolel instead of
the Zos Kolel. The Zos Kolel, okay, whatever.
The Rebbe on the brain, Rabbi Sklar had, I still remember, he was second or third grade. He told us a story along the lines of what he's saying, that this person, he was not a Shabbos Shabbos person, whatever it is, he was an Ober Avera, and he finally, somebody got a hold of him and he did tshuva. And he experienced his first Shabbos in his whole life, that he kept Shabbos, and coming home from shul, Matzi Shabbos, he was run over by a car and killed. So, in other words, he told the story for a purpose that at the Levaya, that Hashem wanted him to die about tshuva, because he didn't know how long it would last. That was with the spin that they put on it like that. He died about tshuva.
It's a tremendous thing. By Fred of the Sima Shas, I mean, it really rings in my head, this story. I heard it before, but how he said over the Sima Shas so eloquently, this goes back to the second, was where a fellow he made, a Moshe went to a Levaya of a person, off the street, and he went to the Levaya and he spoke, "My hi, what are you doing here?" So he says that last night, this fellow made a Sim on one daf. He took it, what did he say? He took him a whole year. A whole year to learn Hebrew, Aramaic, to comprehend. And the night before, it was mamish, the night before, the family came together, they made a siyum, a su'uda, to celebrate that this person, he learned one daf. And then that night, he died. Can you imagine such a thing? How do you explain that? How so bizarre can possibly be? He died that night. My friend, he was saying, can you make a seam on 2,711 daf? Even one daf is kedai to make a seam on. That was the spin he put on it at the Seam HaShas. And he said it like no one can say it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then there's a Hasidic fellow in Torah Das. So he says to my friend, he says, when my friend says, the pen, all of a sudden the pen comes to life. It's like Tchitz HaMeitzim. You just say the word, the pen. You pay attention. All right, let's go further. Echad ha-mar v'yechad ha-mabel v'ashi chavin liba la-shamayim. That's right. Pasuk Zayin on page 316. Ha-hoifchem omar oit siba l'mal shenoflu be'ein meki mitzad shahim. Another cause why they've fallen into a situation where they will no longer stand. The Malbum is explaining that this pasuk is a continuation of the previous psukim. We are in a very bad situation. Nafla v'lo yosef kum. We have fallen, and we will no longer stand again. Okay, that was the pasuk where they go back. Where was that pasuk? It goes back a little bit further. That goes back, right, that goes back to pasuk base. Nafla lo yosef, it's grammatically correct. Loisaysif kum bisulas Yisrael. So here, this pasuk of the Bible is giving us another explanation why Amar oitziv l'mash nafu be'ein meikim b'tzad shem hoifchim ha'lanu mishpat she'evsha she'yiskaimu Yisrael rak ha'idei mishpat utztaka she'mishpat koil ha'mitzvah she'veirat m'chaveiroi utztaka koil ha'mitzvah she'veiratom la'makayim. So he's the first one here on the page, the Mefarshim, that is explaining to us the difference between these two terms. Mishpat is Adam la makayim, and tzedakah is Adam la chaveiroi. That's a very good source here, because those words are used, thrown out many, many times. Melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat in Shmoneh Esrei. So according to the Malbim, tzedakah, Hashem loves that when we're good to one another, we're honest to one another, u'mishpat, Hashem is pleased when we are good to Him. And what does Hashem put first? Tzedakah. Hashem wants man to be good to his fellow man more than he wants man to be good to Hashem. Veheim, Hoanavim, these are the humble people, Asher Kiva, Hashem and Akerem, which Hashem yearns, Ben Akerem, Asher Notu Bekerem, Ben Shemin, Moshakasim Yishai, the famous parak, about Hashem has planted a vineyard, and Hashem has invested enormous effort that the vine should grow and blossom, and the vines rebelled against Hashem and produced sour grapes. So here Hashem yearns that we should be successful. The life that we're entitled to. We shall guard from kibbutz me'oshek v'gezel. We shall guard ourselves from collecting money, acquiring wealth through theft. We shall live with peace and serenity. And therefore, what have we done? Hashem is complaining, I've given you mishpat and tzedakah, and you've made this bitter. That you transform l'lana mishpat v'hatzdaka, he tiso konaf l'ashamayim, limsal yada oysher ha'nefesh, b'asher hi ba'as elukim, ruchanes elukim. Okay, and he says here that tzedakah has lifted up its wing to heaven to find satisfaction, because in this world, no one is interested. He's saying over here very, very drush. This is really becoming a real darshan, the Malbim. And he's saying that you think tzedakah is just purely an earthly matter. It's something which is gashmius. The pasuk here says here, what is tzedakah? According to the vocabulary of the Malbim, it's mishpat ben adam lachaveiro. So, in the United States, let's go to a culture that does not believe in chas v'sholom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they go to China. Is China, do they have any religion? Is there any religion in China?
A little bit, but mostly from Christian missionaries.
The government itself, is the government have any affiliation? No affiliation. Okay, so the government, they are laws. If you commit a crime, they shoot you in the head. Right? There are laws.
There's suppression.
There's rules and regulations, there's suppression, but you have to follow a code of conduct. Okay, so, and the code of conduct is very similar to the United States. Maybe in the United States you can get away with a lot more than you can get away with over there. Okay, no one's gonna kill you for not paying a speeding ticket, a parking ticket, but there are certain conventions in this world that the world has accepted are necessary in order to survive. There are laws. But the government in China has no religion. God is not part of the equation, and they implement, they enact, implement, and they maintain these set of laws. So what do we as religious people, when we look at this society of how many, where they have a billion people there, go to Indonesia, and go to these big countries, and they are totally irreligious, or even worse?
No, they're Muslim.
Okay, Indonesia is Muslim. Indonesia, okay, they're, but you look at countries that are completely secular, you look at completely secular countries, they have laws. So when we have laws in our country, in Klal Yisrael, Those laws are secular laws. Those laws
of men.
Laws of man, which do not have any spirituality with them. That's what I would think. That's what the average person would say. The proof is you don't need to have a God in order to have basic laws of conduct. Don't steal and don't run someone over, and don't speed on the road, because you know you need these laws in order that society should function healthily. And that's, look at the proof is, look what goes on in the world. Along comes this pasuk and says that's part of your mistake. You don't understand even the basic simple laws of society are spiritual. That's an incredible concept. The fact that you don't steal, that's, you hit the nail on it. That's the nafkamina. Because then it's all a matter, you mamish hit the nail on it. If the only difference between, if laws are truly nothing but earthly, there's no spirituality in a law of do not steal, as long as on the books I can get away with it, no one's gonna come after me because I've dotted all the I's, crossed the T's, it's legal, then I can do it. I can do it lichatchila. But if you take into account that a law, ben adam lachaveroi, do not steal, do not harm, all of these things are not just mundane conventions of society. These are spiritual concepts. Then ethics comes to life. Ethics is an unbelievable malbim to use. My father's not alive. I would show him this malbim. This malbim is unbelievable how he's fataiching what ethics are all about. My father's very big business ethics. Mamish fataiching over here that tzedakah la'aretz hinichu. What is the taich of tzedakah according to the malbim? Tzedakah is adam lachavera. Don't kill your friend. Don't rob him. Don't murder him. Don't commit all the basic crime. The whole constitution. Basically, the constitution. Okay? La'aretz hinichu. It's nothing
so
more
it's not
than
humanitarian. It's humanitarian. That's the wrong word. Not
it's a universal, like they said, the law of man.
Right.
The law of it is God is not involved in this. These are necessary things that must be done in this
society.
Right, civilized society. Society will just spiral out of control unless you have safeguards and laws. Without, you don't need to rebuild the shleila. L'may nafkemina, and it's pure mundane. Then you'll always find a loophole. You always find some legal loophole to do as this and this, all these criminal things you'll be able to find to outdo the law. And until, of course, the government finds out you're ripping them off, they'll make new laws to close all the gaps.
Right. Or a despot takes power and he makes the law and everything can, you know.
Everything. Well, that's an extreme. Okay, that's an extreme thing. But even if you don't change the law, but even. Okay, that's very extreme. But even if you keep the laws the way they are, we all know, okay, so there are ways, pay me cash, do this, do that. Everyone knows all the shtick. Yep.
But Chinuch comes to my mind when we were learning by appointed judge.
Yes.
He makes a point. That's a Torah law, but in order to the society couldn't function if the judge were corrupt.
Right, exactly.
So there's a
no. So you need a judge that is not corrupt, even without any spirituality whatsoever. In order for society to function, you need there to be laws. Now the problem, the danger is we look at these laws and we say, so they're not spiritual. What is spiritual? Ben adam lamakan, observe Shabbos, put on tefillin, daven. Maybe when it comes to ribbis, Hashem says, don't take ribbis, even though there's adam l'chaveroi, this is something Hashem wants from us, how to treat our friends. But the basic laws of society are not spiritual. That is a mistake. That's Hashem's criticism of us. Tzedakah, lo'oret sinichu, you view tzedakah, he translates the word tzedakah as a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, meaning dealings of money dealings in adam lachavero to be oretz, something that's purely mundane, and the Malm says it's a mistake.
Seemingly mundane.
That's how our attitude, and that is a mistake. And he says that look at the words again. Look at the words. It's three lines from the bottom of the paragraph before pasuk ches in the Malm, page 316, and says with stalker he tisa konaf lashamayim tzedakah, it lifts up its wing to heaven. limso al yod, to find somewhere in heaven osher hanefesh, satisfaction. Tzedakah is a living spiritual being. And if it's not going to find satisfaction here in this mundane world, it's going to go to Shemayim to find satisfaction. Ba'asher hi bas elokim ruchonis, elokis. Because the principle of tzedakah, look at these incredible words, what he writes over there is really awesome. It is the daughter of Hashem. It is a spiritual concept, spiritual principle. Vehem, what does mankind do? What does humanity do? He nichu tzedakah la'aretz. They take tzedakah and they abandon it to the earth. She etzlam kedover artsi choymri. They view tzedakah as being something which is mundane, which is choymer, bilti nechshav lechlom. It has no value whatsoever. Ba'asher lo yaminu b'nitzchiyus hanefesh uvekidushasa. They do not believe that tzedakah has spirituality and holiness. Not stealing is not just the society needs to get by. It's something, there's something spiritually wrong with stealing. And then, once you open up this principle, then anything that you do that's not a law and you can theoretically get away with, you look at it from a different perspective. Wait a minute, is this in the spirit of the law? And if the answer is no, you know that you're in violation of the law as well, because the law is not just an artsiest law, a law of the earth. It's a spiritual law, and a spiritual law brings with it a new flavor of Kedusha, which demands much, much more of you. You have to follow the spirit of the law. Okay, so basically what Hashem was, according to the Malam, what Hashem is complaining about is business ethics. That's how you have to learn Shat in the past, according to the Malam.
Not only business, but ethics in general.
Ethics in general. Lelana mishpat, between a man and Hashem. You want me to observe Shabbos? What are you, crazy? It's bitter. Stay home on Shabbos, not go to work, not make money, not enjoy myself. This is bitterness. Utstaka? Yeah, in society, you're not allowed to steal. It's nothing more than a convention. And if I can get away with it, if I could cheat on my tax, no one can find out, I could just pay cash, no identity in society, go for it. You'll be a lot more wealthy, way ahead of the game. That's what it says over here. It's stalkal aret sinichu. This is Hashem's complaint.
So we're saying without spirituality, a government cannot function?
Absolutely, that's what it says. Absolutely, that's exactly what he's saying.
It cannot function.
Because you'll always find a loophole. You'll always find there'll be corruption. There's always going to be, we know that. We know that in our own lives. There's always a mokayim to get away with something and not get caught. Even with all the technology, everything, there's always a way you could maneuver. A legal loophole, there's always maneuvering. Always. But if you follow the spirit of the law, you're not going to play games. It's also, you're not allowed to steal. Just because I can get away with it, no one's going to know, no one's watching, it's only a few cents here or there, only a few, whatever. You really take it seriously? The ruchnius that lies in the law, you're not going to steal. You'll be ethical. Ethical, not just honest. You'll be ethical. It's a whole new league. That's the complaint. And who says it's pshat? Not Rashi, not the Mitzudas, not the Radak. The Malam says this. That's how he reads Mamish Pshat into the Pasuk. Incredible. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Now we go to the next concept. Pasuk Ches. Oysei al-kein k'moshem m'haphim mosek lemar. Just like they transform what is sweet to what is bitter. The oysher shememi l'dover artsi. Oysher that is fat. Shememi means heaven, heavenly. Heavenly, very interesting word. Shemeli means from Shemayim, if I'm not mistaken. It means Shemayim Lodover Aretzi. They take spiritual satisfaction and they transform it into something mundane. They extract the spirituality out of something which is Ruchnius. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds you of that there was a very big complaint in the early years when they did not have enough teachers. They did not have enough teachers, so they there were certain schools that hired to teach Chumash and Gemara and Mishnah, people that were not Shomer Shabbos. Okay, they were not Shomer Shabbos. But they knew Chumash inside out better than any Rebbe. Any Rebbe you can find on the Rebbe, they didn't know how to teach. They couldn't talk the language. They probably didn't even know the Pumsung. They didn't know. And then you have a person who is a maskil. He's educated. He can talk. He knows how to speak well. He knows how to connect. And he knows the pshat and the pasuk. He knows the charedi pshat. He knows the pshat that's apikorsis. He knows all the pshatim. And he's hired by the school. We're paying you money to teach them Chumash and Rashi. It's a churban. It's mamash a churban. Why is it a churban? I mean, it's a churban. This was done mamash b'asim chol yom. And there were people that you don't. There's more. There is more to what it says than just the literal translation and the interpretation. There's a spirituality that comes along with teaching. And here he's saying, he's complaining. That's that Hashem said, just like you're mahapech the muslar, the oisher shememi ledover aritzi. You take a spiritual satisfaction which cannot be defined in words, cannot be defined. It's simply a person who's a yorei shemayim and teaches children Torah. You can't define it. You can't put that. There's nothing that contains it. And on the other side of the room, you have a person who's a machal Shabbos, doesn't believe in the whole thing. Listen, I need to make a parnasa also. They're paying me good money. I'll do it. I'll teach them Chumash. That's called ledover aretz. You just take the spiritual matter and you make it into a matter that's purely mundane, a secular subject. You're not going to get the results. It will not work. That's Hashem's complaint. And you transform the sedarim shesidu lochem Hashem lechatz lechasam into shemayim b'zeh ulo'oshram babo. I'm not sure I understand how he's translating these words. Their happiness babo. What's in babo? Whatever this means. V'chein so for now, therefore he's saying over here, mida kineged mida. He's learning pshan and pasuk ches. Here's where the punishment begins. You want to take what is holy and transform it to what is make it to mundane. You want to strip the spirituality out of my Torah and my mitzvahs. I'm going to go and be mahapech mida kineged mida, the world order. Instead of it being hot, it's going to be cold. Instead of cold, it's going to be hot. Instead of there being light, there's going to be darkness. Darkness, light. The world is going to flip upside down. And that's going to drive you mad. Because the world was not meant to function in this manner. V'chein Hashem yahabach sidrei habriya luhumam ula abdam, to destroy the world. Uber shekmo she orach Hashem arranged Hashem sidrei habriya ba'ifin hayosat tov moil. The world was created to function with a certain set of rules. The earth spins. Which direction? Clockwise? Which direction does the earth spin?
It matters which way it's looking, from the north or the south.
Yeah? From the north.
No, it goes west to east.
The earth spins, the sun rises in the east. I'm very schwach. Okay. The earth was made to function in a very specific order. Ki hu oisech kima uchesil, she kima heima mazola samadim karamayim. Kima is the constellation which is responsible for coldness and for water. Uluma ze also kisil shehu amevi choyim heat v'yovesh. Uchumo shem chazal ilmoli chuma shel kisil. If not for the heat that is generated by the constellation called kisil, ein olam yochol, the world would not be able to amoid mitzinosa shel kima. The world could not exist due to the coldness of kima. The amru, there's a balance. It's a very interesting concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this, a dogma of everything in this world is counterbalanced. Hashem did not give any element of nature full shlita. This is a scientific principle. You have to bring in a big physicist to tell us, to teach us all these things. That in nature, every item that Hashem created is sholem to an extreme. And if it would dominate, the world will be destroyed. There's always something, a physical force in this world which counteracts another physical force. And if the balance is shaken, we're finished. The world will come to an end. And he gives an example here. There's something called Kima and Kisil. One would bring upon this world extreme heat. The world will be torched. And the other one brings extreme cold. If you let anyone shlita, finished. That's why the two have to operate together. Balance. The balance is where it all lies. That's why I know there's certain yeshiva that they established it, that there are two Russia yeshivas. Two Russia yeshivas. Why? No one should think they're the balabas. When you have to go and every decision you make has to be approved by the other Rosh Shiva. And it's like, whatever, it's like there's always checks.
Checks
that the country, look, that's really, that the whole kind of success of the United States is all built upon this principle. Checks and balances. Okay? And the more complex the checks and balances, I mean, you dig yourself into your own hole. Because you take away too much power, you can't do anything.
Right.
But that's you need a soft spot. There should be just enough power where you can get something done, but it has to be balanced. It shouldn't be corruption. Hashem created the world with such a mitzias, and now if you're not going to behave yourself, I'm going to. It's what he says. It doesn't say that Hashem's going to take away one. Hashem's going to reverse their roles. When you reverse their roles, everything is going to go out of order. This is the famous Chazal of the Marble. Okay, we had the Marble. Hashem extracted two stars from Kima. V'hevi Marble li'olam, and he brought a Marble. I guess by taking away two stars, he gave more power to the opposing force, and they dominated. And by that one being allowed to dominate, there's a flood. V'aksil shomer haseder habriya bal yigbedu hamayim. The yishtifu es aretz, and by now Hashem taking away two stars, the balance was broken, and now we got all this trouble. V'chein hu choyfech labayker tzalmoves shabor es or shabor yapech tzalmoves labayker. Hashem created or keeps in balance the tzalmoves. Ato yapech sedarim ele l'ra shekineged ma shachoyfech labayker tzalmoves ato yom l'layla hichshech. Now it's going to be the other way around. Yom will turn into Laila, Yoshev, Hayom, Lios, Laila. So he's saying over this expression, the Pasuk, Pasukhas, they really go together. There's normally, this is not like what we learned until now. We learned, V'choyfech Labokat Salmovis, period. The Yom, Laila, Hechshech, period. Two separate concepts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows, at times, takes an individual who is in the matzav, a situation of Tzel Moves, and he redeems him. He brings for him boker. And there are people who are in a situation of success compared to the day, and Hashem, if he so wishes, he destroys them, he brings upon them Laila. Two separate concepts. Hashem controls everything. He's not saying that the Malma. The Malma we are saying is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he created in this world boker in order to counterbalance Salmavis. But now that you're not behaving, Hashem is going to allow the Laila to dominate. He's going to throw off the boker, and he will allow that the yom, which until this moment in time was keeping a proper balance, is going to be pushed away, and now Laila Hechshech, the night, the darkness will dominate. Hashem is going to change the balance, the power of balance. Yashav Hayom Lios Laila V'Neged Ma, the next part of the passage of the Malbim, the next page. And honestly, Malm goes now to page 318. Okay, page 318. Sh'asa k'sil l'shmar baltig ma'ras kima. Kima l'havi ma'bul l'olam atu atzme ha'kori. Now he's going back to kima. Hashem made kima and k'sil. Kima to counterbalance k'sil. Now atu atzme k'ori l'me hayon v'yishbechem al p'nei ha'aretz ki Hashem tzivoko yishmo. So the passage is going backwards. Hashem made Kimo Chasil. And the end of the Pasuk says Hashem is going to break that balance by taking away Kimo and allowing Chasil to dominate. Hashem Tzavaka Shmo HaMoshal Kol HaTzavakas V'yisadir Oysam Kiritzoni Chmoshayim Hofku Hasidah HaNohoga Kach Yapku Hasidah HaNohoga Sa'ilam L'chaloysa Mi'al Pi Odama Mida Keneged Mida. If you want to pervert what I've created in this world, the mitzvahs, then you're going to suffer midah keneged midah. Hashem is going to mahabech the seder ha'olam, and you're going to find yourself in a very difficult, the world will be in a very dangerous situation. Now let's look over here at the Mamari Chazal first. Pasuk Ches on page 317. Oise kimoch sil, Shmuel Rami. Shmuel posed a stira, contradiction. Ksiv, Oise, Osh, Kisil, Lechima. Okay, these are the names of various constellations. One of them is called Osh. The second is Kisil. And the third is Kima. What is the order? So in the brackets, they tell us, Shekisil, Kaidim, Lechima. Kisil comes first. Uchsiv, but we have another pasuk. Oise, Kima, Kisil. Our pasuk here, we just learned today, in Amos. In Amos, it puts Kiskima before Kisil. Seder is everything. Okay, the world is built upon the principle of order. Order is everything. Okay, Lel Pesach, we have a Seder. Even miracles. The Maral, famous, right? It's probably one of the most famous Marals. I think it's probably the most famous Maral. And even miracles have a Seder. That's like, you know, that word from the Maral defines the Maral. Abstractness has also logic, has also
a system,
right? That's mamash the mahus of the morale. Morale is very abstract.
He's the
master of abstractions.
The
morale is the master of abstractions, but yet this whole sefer is to show that there's nothing abstract. It's a contradiction. This whole sefer, all of his works are really contradictory. He makes everything abstract, but yet in the abstraction, he tries to show the system. And what's the var, the famous var from the morale? Everyone, this is like probably the classic var is why on the Lel Pesach are we so obsessed with Seder, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz? Why the Seder? What is the Lel Seder? It's all miracles. It's all about miracles. Kriyas Yamsuf, Ten Makois, Moshe with his mate, everything is Lamala Miderech HaTeva. When you break out of the laboratory, and there are no rules, science and Teva are not functional, then you give up. There's no Seder. You don't know what to expect. You cannot predict. There's no prediction. The answer to the morale is you're making a big mistake. There's no such thing in this world as chaos. No such thing.
Randomness.
Not randomness, chaos, all of these nice words. There's no such thing. Even in the world of miracles, there's an order. There's a playbook. There are rules. There are regulations of how miracles work and when miracles work. Miracles don't just happen like that. There's a method to the madness. That's the malchus of the maral.
That's along the lines, believe it or not, that Barbara Benel says, the title of I had mentioned, Hamakadosh Ketuvah, the Kol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis. He says it about Perik, but he says that there are all these things that are Shelo Kederech HaTeva, miracles that happen, were put into Ma'aseh Bereishis, and every morning God says, need it, don't need it anymore.
That's anymore,
tomorrow
also.
It said it long before that. They call it the elastic clause in creation. That's basically, yeah, what he says. I think that was the reason why Rav Tzitzis Zal was upset with the word Shoah. Shoah, he didn't like Shoah. How we discussed a lot of the Shoah, that he didn't like the word for the Holocaust and the Shoah, because in Tanakh, Shoah means chaos. It means chaos. There's no Seder. The Holocaust was done with Cheshbon. We have no clue what the Cheshbon is. It was done. So there really is no term for Holocaust. So we had a whole discussion. Churban. So then they say Churban Europe. Churban Europe is not also correct. They had Churban Europe. It's not just Europe. That was Choraf. A lot more than Europe was Choraf. America was Choraf. Okay. Also, the Churban spread to the entire world. So to say Churban Europe is limiting. To say Holocaust, same problem. It just means Shoah.
Yeah.
So what are you going to say? I think Rav Schwab, Shimon Schwab is the most brilliant of them all, and his word is he made a kina for Tisha B'Av, for the Holocaust, and he opens up he basically calls the Holocaust Day Ra'on. It's the last parak in Yeshaya.
Right.
What does it mean Day Ra'on? Dai Re'ia. Rashi there says you can't even look at it. It is so horrible. It is so catastrophic. Die, when you begin to dwell upon it, you say to yourself, die. I can't go there anymore. Die re'ia. I can't look. The more you think you're able to look and study, understand, Dei ro'o, that's how we dis, that's the term he uses to this, to define the Holocaust. That's what he, the king doesn't say the word Shoah, doesn't say the word Churban, doesn't say, I don't know, there are a lot of words. They give a whole shiur on this, what these words are, all the different translations of what it means. The average person, you have to say the word Holocaust. You know, you can't live in a world where you don't talk the language of the world. Yeah. The Holocaust.
But you want to delve into it, it's a label.
It's a label which means nothing, because it doesn't mean that, obviously there are problems. But so the Holocaust, you write a book, you write the Holocaust. But if you really want to, you think about it, you can't. It's not really a Holocaust, because that's not the right word. So what is the right word? There is no right word.
That's right.
There is no right word. Even Rav Shlomo, I'm sure someone will come along and nitpick. You'll find some chasarin in the word deiraon. But it's quite a statement. It's quite a brilliant analysis of basically I give up. You can't even put a label on it. Diarrhea. I don't even know what to say about this. Okay, let's go further. So here we have a seder. Back to this concept, order is everything. Everything in this world depends upon seder. We have psukim and tanach, which are giving us orders. The pasuk of Yom Omos, which contradicts what it says in seder yoyv. So how do we understand this? So here the Gemara says the yisida we just learned. Halketzal mole chuma shel ksil loy niskayim oyla mebnei tzina shel kima. The mole tzina shel kima loy niskayim oyla mebnei chuma shel ksil. In other words, it was done with precision. There's a method to the madness why they're out of order, in order to indicate that each one is counterbalanced by the other. That's the method. And you take this idea to, and everything, like I told you, everything in the entire of the whole world is all built upon this principle, even Moshe v'Aaron. Chazal tell us, sometimes it says Moshe v'Aaron, sometimes it says Aaron and Moshe. Why couldn't Moshe be everything? It doesn't work like that. Moshe had a different midah. If Moshe's midah was allowed to the extreme, then there would be no Klal Yisrael. Moshe was a powerful person. When Moshe got angry, you know, he got angry. Moshe had a din of a melech. You have to go study his whole. He had the matah. The samata tikach biyada. Moshe ruled with authority, with strictness. Aaron was soft. Oyev shalom. Viroy Dev Shalom. Aaron let them make the eagle. I mean, it's Pella. Aaron let them make Moshe. He killed them all. Mila Shemela. Come drink from the 3,000 people. Brother killed brother. V'chulu v'chulu. Moshe was a mamish, a takif. He studied Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a takif. He beat you over the head with a stick. And Aaron? Oyev Shalom Viroy Dev Shalom. If either one was given full reins, the world will be charaf. The whole world will come to an end. You need there to be a counterbalance and checks and balances. That's the yisoid. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. Kima and kesil. These are the two fundamentals of nature. Cold and heat. Cold, heat, which brings rain. Cold, which,
water and dryness.
Water and dryness, and the other one was heat and rain,
cold,
whatever it is.
Cold paired with water and heat paired with dryness.
Okay, so these things, they counterbalance one another, and therefore they were, by design, they were interchanged in order to show us, to reveal to us, that there has to be a balance. And that is the Gilui Milsa, that in every single thing in this world, there has to be a balance. And that's, like we said, that's the success really of the United States, the last 200 years. It's really the success, 200, it's really almost 250 years, right?
And what is it based on? It's based on
the Torah, the Bible.
It's based on the understanding that there is a God and there are the inalienable rights, right?
It's only Hashem Echad. It's also the greater appreciation. Shema Yisrael Shem Elokim Hashem Echad. The only being in this world that is one, that is perfect, is Hashem. Everything else in this world, checks and balances. Everything. You cannot survive in this world one day without there being checks and balances, because each element of creation would naturally go to an extreme and that would destroy the world. So there has to be a balance. So that means there's always going to be this duality. Okay, that's the whole Avodah Zarah of what's in English zoo. What's it called? There's a fancy word in English for this religion to worship the twos.
Duality.
No, this is Zoroastrianism. That's
the
sun.
No.
What's that?
That's a Persian.
All right, whatever. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It gives you much greater sense of appreciation when you say Kriya Shema. What, it's very hard, I think, for the average person today. What does Hashem is Echad?
You mean polytheism or something like
that? Yeah. That means many. I don't even mean many, I mean two. There's something about calling two. There is such a religion, you have to go look in the dictionary in that book over there and see what it means two. There is this, it gives a new dimension to appreciate Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So why do you focus on Echad? So we're spoiled because we live in a generation where we're taught, of course, only one Akadosh Baruch. We live in a country where they believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is Echad. But in ancient times, like you said, there are a million gods. Every little thing has its own God. Okay, so a Bil Pshat, Hashem Echad, there's only one God, that's in control of everything. There's another Pshat. Look at this world. In this world, everything is counterbalanced. Everything, you have to go talk to the scientists and they'll show you everything. If you let it go to its extreme, you're finished. It has to be counterbalanced. Who?
The world of Shnius.
Oh, okay. The world of Shnius. See, so who's counterbalancing Hashem? That was the ultimate statement of Epicurus that I just said. If everything in this world is a counterbalance, so who's counterbalancing? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem doesn't have a counterbalance. Hashem is everything. That's where Hashem stands out over nature in a dimension that does not exist in this world. And this is what this Gemara says. The Gemara's mamish bring out this point. There's Kima and Kisil, and it's not in order. Not being in order is a violation of everything that this world is based upon, the DNA of this world. And the answer is, there's a method to the unorder. Is to show you the balance. When something is out of order, there's a balance. And now you can listen to all the things in the Tanakh out of order with this balance. Even Datsach Adash Be'achav. Okay, so there also in Tehillim, it's out of order. In Tehillim, we say that's what's out. Rabbi Huda, how you Simonim. What do we need you for, Rabbi Huda? You want to be Mekatzer? Okay, very nice. We meant by the Haggadah, the Seder is what it says in Chumash, not what it says in Tehillim. Because in Tehillim, it orders the Makos in a different order. So don't forget, when you come to the Seder, even though you're such a tzaddik, and you say Tehillim every single day, and you know Baal Peh, and you're going to say that you want to maybe inclined to recite the Makos in a different order, and you'll say, oh, the Torah, maybe, who knows, in the Torah, ain't the Mukhtim Mu'ukha B'Torah, who knows what kind of wild drush you'll come up with, and you'll say that in the Torah, it was really written out of order, and Tehillim is the right order. No. Rabbi Yehuda, Hayinois, Saint Bohem, Simonim, the way it's in the Torah, not the way it's in Tehillim. So question, so why then in Tehillim is in a different order? Obviously, it has, I don't know what the answer is, but there are different answers. But perhaps there's another dimension to the Makos of being counterbalanced. He's telling us that anytime you find something in a different order, if you let one thing go to an extreme, it's very dangerous. There has to be a healthy balance in this world.
Well, in the Chumash, we find that the Yoreah, he claimed that there should be two.
Shemesh, two more. Correct.
Yeah, but we
say now, one. So how do you reconcile that? Very good. How do you reconcile that?
Also, we say, we there's Hashem Echad, there's one Kohen Gadol, there's one Melech.
It's not really a kasha because in the role of what Kima, right? What does Kima do? Kima brings I forgot which one does Kima bring. Right, I can't remember anything. Kima, it brings cold.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. You can't have two of them bringing the cold. One brings the cold. There's another one to counterbalance the cold. But the one that's bringing the cold cannot have a partner. If this is what my midah is, to do this thing, I do this. Ein shnei melachim misham shemikeser echad. That doesn't mean, though, that there's not someone watching my back. There's not going to be checks and balances. So there's shnei ma'oros hagedolim. You can't have two ma'oros that were both producing light, it seems.
You can't have two
doing the same thing. Okay, so now we're going to, you have to be ma'id yourself. So you will now be the counterbalance. I mean, not really the counterbalance, doesn't do anything, but... But there's a just because you're doing something doesn't mean there's no one that's counterbalancing you. And but what you do, you got to do alone. You can't have 10 people doing the same thing. You know, then doesn't we know it doesn't work. If 10 people make the chalent will taste horrible. This one put in this ingredient, that ingredient. You have to have one person. This is my recipe. Mind your own business. I once mamash saw a couple fight. I couldn't believe this. They were mamash fighting. It's so bizarre. Not that long ago, I was the guest at Shabbos. They served chalent. And the husband, he ate the chalent. And it was very salty. So the wife said to the husband, "Did you put in salt? Did you put an extra salt into the chalent?" And he said, "No, I didn't." And they started fighting. "Yes, you did. How come? You're lying to me. You put it." Obviously, every week, one of them shepherds with the one makes it, one does something over there. Right? So if you have to have one bala boss making the decisions, it doesn't mean that you don't have to have a counterbalance and have a whole medicine cabinet to counterbalance the effect of what this child does to survive. Oh, you can imagine. Churban. It's always like that. You have to have one person, that's the way that, always see that.
It was Isaac Newton's papers that they found in the last 30 years or so, that he while he believed in his religion, he rejected 100% Yashka. He said,
impossible.
That's why he did not want to be ordained, which was required, but he was able to get away with it.
They didn't realize why, but they realized in his papers he just said it is one God. They have here in religion dualism means they believe in two supreme opposed powers. This is a very big thing. One of the big things of ancient Avodah Zarah, this principle of their two. That's why Chazal are obsessed with this. In fact, Chazal say you not zugos. Zugos, anything that you do in doubles is forbidden. We're not makbar on this today because we don't. But like that's the big problem of how could the Chazal institute four cups of wine? Four cups of wine is an even number. It's like unheard of. This is like a violation. Lel Shimurim. It's Lel Hashem is Echad. Okay, this was a very big thing in ancient times. Let's finish up. Okay, let's finish up over here. This Malbum. So we're on page. We finish over here. Yom Hakoshech. Do we finish the Malmukim? Almost. Okay. Ahay Karei Lulmei Yom Bayishvachem. No, we're middle of the Gemara. Finish the Gemara. The Malmukim Tina Shal Kima Don Eschaim Adam Bnei Chuma Shal Ksil Ma Kima Am Shmuel. So what is the word Kima? Now this emerges to find what is Kima Am Shmuel Sheyeshba Kimeya Koychvei. You know why it's called Kima? Kima comes from the word Kimeya. Kimeya. 100 stars. It has Kim.
Says, Kim. Says it was the over 100 stars.
In this constellation.
He says, "I know it's like the streets in my city."
The Shvili de Nahardah. Amri lo some say shemakachavim de mikanfei, which hamme kubatzim shebekima, which means these are the stars which are all, you know, the associates, all of the affiliated stars in this constellation. Amri lo some say. Dimi Badron. No, when we talk about the 100 stars, it means far away. There are certain, I guess it's a cluster of stars, and some of them are in the nucleus, and there are some that are more scattered. So to us doesn't make a difference, but those that are experts in these in Yanim, when they want to define Kima is a cluster of stars. There are certain stars that are focused in the center.
Constellations,
but there are elements in these constellations which are made up of stars. Some of them are closer, and some of them are further. Which one is part of the Kima? It is Machlokes in the Gemara. Okay, so whatever these things are, these are beyond.
It's we who draw the connecting lines.
There are things that we do not understand. The human eye cannot. I was talking to a doctor recently, working in technology. And this, she told me something fascinating. She says that the human, if you show shown a retina, can you tell if it's from a male or a female? Just show the retina of an eye. Impossible. There's no human being that can just look at an eye and can see if it's a male or a female. A computer, through very sophisticated techniques, not a microscope, a computer can tell you, they have an algorithm, can tell you with 100% accuracy if it's a male or a female. It's not, no, it's the retina, not the face, the eye. I guess so, you go to an extreme. Can you imagine you have a shul? If an alarm goes off, if a man goes into the women's section. You have a sensor. How does the sensor know if it's a man or a female? How can you tell? It's a very big problem in Eretz Yisrael. We know with terrorists. The terrorists, they have women who get dressed up, they get dressed up, men or women, they get dressed, different genders to so they have technology. Technology, it's not a matter of clothing, it's not a matter of anything. Because really, how can you really tell the difference between a man and a woman? It's not so simple. Even with all the technology that we have, can you really tell the difference? A computer can just look at the eye, zoom in, and there's something about the human eye that there's the difference between man and woman. Amazing. So here we have, the world's first gender-free store?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
This was in Atlanta.
What does that mean, gender-free?
Was this Atlanta? No.
What does that mean?
It's, you know.
The clothing.
It was a clothing store.
Everything in the store can either be for a man or a woman.
Gender-free.
Everything. In the bathroom, there's only one bathroom.
That's for sure.
Bizarre, huh? Crazy world. All right, we're out of time. We're going to stop here. Tomorrow we'll do one more Maamar Chazal tomorrow. Okay, today we'll take a little bit. I want to do now Ma'oz. So I want to go over Ma'oz and talk about Zois Chanukah. Okay, so we'll spend the remaining of the time delving into the significance of Zois Chanukah.
I spoke to Marvin Goldstein.
Yes.
Yes, he was very happy to hear from me. And we spoke for a bit. Yeah.
He doesn't let you off the phone, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't let you off the phone.
Okay.
He needs it.
Just like to meet. Today's my call. This is your side. It could be dedicated
to the remainder of the
Okay.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you. Good.